life, gotta make your own deals, chase your own thrills, pay your own bills. On the outer loop, sitting on chrome wheels, phone synced up to the newest chrome bills. On air, who cares if it's right or wrong? I just care which guests they invited on. Without a minute to stall, and there was liquor involved with some hype songs. And the night is young, right on cue, the talking begins. And we check out what Steve Bill's got on the blends. A bit grimy, a backdrop from the late 80s to the mid 90s, till it finally takes us to a rhythm that works. And K-Chrome spits a verse that he didn't rehearse. Both flex skills, proving it's all in. So gather around for the newest installment, Chrome Bills.
Episode number 64. That's 8 times 8 for all the math people at home. Back from a bit of a hiatus, but we also hit you with a little gem. I highly recommend going back and checking out Chrome Bills episode 63, which is actually a live recording at the Cruel Fuel album release party.
Who are you?
The post-show cypher featuring, you got the Who Are You ready? There was K Chromosome, C's Mikes,
who are you?
Steve
who
Bills,
are you?
Max
Cole
Bent,
who are you?
Artemis,
who are you?
Unknown,
DJ Cam 1,
who are
DJ
you?
Cam 1, Tamu,
Big
Slops to God.
Slop to God.
Who are you?
Is that everybody? Did I catch them all? I think that was everybody.
I thought I saw Jim Haslett walking around, which explains a lot. He was pretty drunk.
I think I saw my Uncle Charles there.
Yeah, what's the reasoning behind having that on your sample board, Chuck?
So a couple episodes back, we were talking about how the corny dudes in the bar, when bad rap songs come on, there's always like one or two lyrics they know really well, and they get very animated about. And I said that in Crossroads, the lyric is. And Steve made a point, actually said I should put it on the soundboard because I'm technically an Uncle Charles. As opposed to an Uncle Charles.
Right? Whoa. You know what?
What's up? You know what?
Hey, yo, fuck this. No, I'm just kidding. I feel like that would be a good episode title, Corny Dudes and the Lyrics They Know. So we got a lot to dive into. I feel like this is sort of this episode could be called Cotter because it's welcome back.
It's
welcome,
been a while. Yeah,
welcome
a
back,
while.
Chuck, from overseas. I mean, we got to dive into that.
I'm going to tease this. I got a them that's not that's coming up about okay. My recent trip to the wonderful country of Italia, specifically the city of Bologna.
Is it what appetizers you did not eat?
It's a little bit deeper than that, but we can delve into. There was balsamic discussions that got very deep on the last time
did
we
you
were
ever,
all on the same podcast.
Steve.
Yeah, I haven't gotten my bottle yet.
Did you give him the money?
No, I haven't.
Well, that's probably why you haven't received anything.
Okay. Right, spoiler alert, I did not bring anything back for you guys.
Okay.
Okay, that's fine.
I can live with that.
I got to connect.
Okay. Yo,
his name is Maurizio.
Maurizio, I make this olive. I step on it with my own feet. For you, Steve.
The other travels going on though. I don't want to gloss over this. The one and only C's Mikes has been on the road. You've done what, like four shows, five shows since the last episode? Since episode 62, that is.
I did three shows up and down the Northeast. Many thanks to the people of Rap Night Portland, Nate and Jesse. Many thanks to the people of Rap Night Manchester on Sundays, Nate and Jesse again.
Connected?
Who are you?
Yeah, they're about an hour and a half apart. It was really really inspiring because I was telling them afterwards, I was like, yo, like my whole shit when I was in my teens and in 20s was going to ciphers and open mics.
Right.
There was no, it became a big thing eventually when people were like, we're going to have a set. But I, for the first like 8 years, like I just go freestyle. People are like, what are your songs like? I'm like, I don't have any. I just freestyle. Okay. It wasn't until I was like 24, I was like, I should write this shit down.
So what these guys are doing is having that open mic night and then having somebody come in and do.
Come through.
It's a simple idea, but yeah, that's what you want to see,
right? What the other thing about it is, I just want to derail for 1 second. What Cole said is so fucking true because I do remember like the first times I ever got on the mic on stage in front of a group of people, it was always either to battle or to freestyle. So then it was like, that was just, you automatically became like a much better MC. And the first time we did a set and Cole was like, can you come up and do a song? And I was like, spit a verse I have memorized over a beat I already know is going to play. That sounds like cheating.
Yeah. 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 Well, so they, and it was inspiring too, because in the areas that they are, Portland's not a small city, okay. You know? And so they had a really big venue. I mean, it had to be a pretty big cap. And then on Wednesday nights in that area, probably because it's a bigger city, there was a bunch of breakdancers, which was dope to see. Boogie Boy Metal Mouth, shout out to the homies.
Who are you?
They played at that show in Portland. I got to handpick some of the people I was going to play with, and I figured in the Northeast, I knew who I would ask. Saturday night, I played with Sloppy Seconds Presents in West Haven, Connecticut. Ben Grimm and Timmy Wiggins of Misery Crew were there.
Who are you?
Giant Gorilla nice. Dog Thing, who we had on a previous
who
episode for the interview.
Nice.
Dez and Do Computer. And then Sunday night, did the Rap Night Manchester again with Giant Gorilla Dog Thing. And it was dope. You know, it's the kind of thing where... You know, so we had Dez on here. I used to tour quite a bit with Dez, and he's actually been going back and backtracking and listening to some of the episodes. He's got some good feedback. We actually featured a song with him in episode 62, right?
Right.
At the end. So after the show on Saturday, you know, it was like this little, it's basically an abandoned warehouse, and probably like 30 people there. Like, they had heaters, so like that wasn't a problem. The sound was actually fairly decent, and I just got into it. I was, you know, I feel like Cruel Fuel was perfect for that kind of setting. And afterwards, Dez was like, you know, I showed up and like everybody's busting each other's balls. He's like, I was giving you a lot of shit earlier, dog, but like that was a fucking session. That was a clinic. And it's that kind of shit. I was like, yo, I feel like you don't A, appreciate a performance like that, or B, give one, unless you went through like that fucking boot camp of like 8 years of just open mic shit, like making your environment work.
Right.
So it was dope. I'm glad to be back. It was definitely a fruitful trip. Many thanks to Michelle of Crush Kill Recordings for putting everything together in terms of the hotels. So that brings me to this point that I'd like to talk about.
They putting you up in hotels?
Well, I told them. Well, there's a couple reasons. With my back,
yeah.
With me being an absolute diva. Plus, I was like, dude, like I calculated today. I drove 632 miles.
Okay. Wow.
So I was like, yeah. Plus, I spent a lot of my own money on Cruel Fuel.
Sure.
I was like, I'm not, you know, you don't have to put me up in like a fucking 5-star, but like right. $80 a night, like let's do that.
Let's do this. Room then, service?
No, no.
X-Men Part 3.
Mini bar?
How did you get that?
Triple. No, I actually, you know that you're old and hungry and tired. Where the best part I can say about where I was staying for each place, people like nudie bar, like was there a lot of places to go and like meet chicks? I was like, I was right next to this really ill sub shop called Nordelli's that's big in the Northeast. I'm almost ate there like 8 times.
Is it
over
Mo's
the course of
Deli
4 days.
Or Modelli's?
I think it's Nordelli's or Nardelli's.
Oh, Nardelli's.
Okay.
Yeah, I think they're your connect over in Italy for the olive oil, right?
Are they related to Nardwar?
Yeah.
Nardelli.
Who are you?
I mean, it's definitely like, they had a picture of like the woman. They're like, this is who came from Italy. And she's like carrying tomatoes and has like half a mustache. I was like, this is some Italian shit right here, man.
her tits had a mustache on them. That's real Italian right there.
Yeah. So big ups. Thanks to everybody involved in... it was crazy too, because when I got back, I was like, oh, we didn't record an episode. I wonder what we're going to get this week. As Chuck said, episode 63, the freestyle at the end of the album release part. I can't say enough good things about it.
It was
awesome.
Fun. Yeah, definitely.
I was so, I listened to it
Max
today.
And Cam was one of the illest things I've ever heard.
I listened to it today and you had said that. You were like, oh, you got to check this. You got to check that. It's really good. And a couple people had sent me like random videos that were 30 seconds of the freestyle cipher here or there. Sitting down, listening to it, props to, it was Max, I guess, who recorded it?
Correct.
The sound quality on it's absolutely fucking amazing. And then just the on-pointness of the cipher and every MC coming in and the transitions. I actually want to particularly point out Tamu. Like, Tamu,
yeah,
I've been rhyming with Tamu for 15 years. And that is close to the nicest I've ever seen him come off.
He kind of killed it.
Yeah.
But he did kill it. He didn't.
And I think everyone held their own. There was no weak link in the cipher at all. But like going back and listening to it, I was like, Jesus Christ.
Yeah, Timu was on.
He showed up. He's like, man, I wasn't even supposed to work today. Then they called me in. I've been there for like 10. Like, he was angry. And he had that energy in him. He's like, I need to get this shit out. Boom, stepped to the mic and killed it.
And Cole Smartley
was
like,
set it off.
We should
all work 10 hours a day and then go freestyle.
I like that he sets it off, too.
Yeah. He's got such a great voice. You know? I feel like rap is one of the few areas where you'd be like, yeah, you know, like that dude's got a great voice, and there's no thought of hitting the AO button.
You know, yeah, you know? Say that about somebody.
You can say somebody's got a nice jump shot. That's cool.
Right.
You know?
Right.
I mean, you can say that you're like, he's handsome too, like if that's your thing.
Yeah.
AO.
AO.
So when I was asking you about.
He's got a soothing voice.
Yeah. Very much so.
When I was asking you about hotels, I said mini bar, which actually, it's a nice segue into Bologna. What do you guys think my mini bar tab for a week in another country was?
Wait, did you say in this?
Are we going in dollars or euros?
Oh, true.
I paid with my credit card as I was leaving, and so it was transferred to euros. to dollars. I can say this, that my girl had maybe 5 bottles of water and none of the alcohol. And the mini bar was very, very reasonably priced. Like, bottle of water, probably like, I'll put it all in dollars, probably like $1.50. And, you know, a beer or like a miniature liquor drink, probably no more than like $3.
All right, let me ask you this. When you saw the bill, was your reaction like, okay, that makes sense? Were you like, oh, okay? Or were you like, Jesus Christ?
No, I actually had a number in my head, and it came in a little under it. So I was like, all right.
Okay, all right. Were you aiming for the stars, though, with that one? You set the bar kind of high.
I probably set it high because there was one night where like I thought some of the I thought some of the liqueurs were in there. They were labeled as like martini, and I thought you were supposed to mix them with the vodka.
Okay,
but it was already
had the vodka in it because I saw someone order it the next night at a bar, and they just poured it right out the bottle, and I just fucking died laughing. I was like, oh, that's what you do, because I mixed that with a thing of Smirnoff.
Yeah.
How many nights, Chuck?
7 nights.
Okay.
I feel like it's a very psychologically healthy reaction that Chuck had. He's like, I'm going to start this number high.
Right.
Like, there's no reason to be disappointed.
And scale it back.
That's what I do.
I got $500 on it.
That's asinine, dude. That's insanely high.
He's an asinine.
It was seven days? See, I thought that sounded... Well, because the bottled water's got to be what? Like $4?
No, I was saying everything was like real cheap. Like, bottle of water was like $1.50. Oh.
Okay. I was thinking $50 a night or, you know, like, you know, 50 to 75 a night or something.
Yeah, I came in just under 100.
Oh.
Dude, I'm shocked. I'm almost disappointed.
I'm disappointed as well.
I mean, I want to reiterate, this is the mini bar. These were just nightcaps. Like, these were not...
And they were airplane bottles.
Yeah.
Okay, that makes a lot. I'm thinking of like you're cracking like a fucking Heineken when you get home.
And he was pre-drinking and post-drinking.
Yeah.
Shit, I've been drinking with Chuck. You pre-game at, you know, 8 o'clock.
Yeah.
And then you get home.
For the next day.
And then you get home back and it's like 2 a.m. and you drink till 6.
Yeah.
The post-game session like, is always the most fun.
I remember I told you the time I was up there last November.
Uh-huh.
We started drinking at like 6:30, and I remember Chuck was like, "You might want to chill." I was like, "Man, I'm having like a Jameson and 4 beers." You're like, "Dude, this is like it's like 8 o'clock. Chill out."
Yeah. Cole ordered a shot. We were 2 beers in at the first bar, and he ordered a shot. And I did. I gave the precautionary. I was like, "Dude, this is New York City, and it's like 8 p.m. Kind of just feel it, you know, roll into it."
It was like 12:30, and we went back to Chuck's house, and across from his apartment is the most pristine 7-Eleven I've ever seen. Like, it was, I would go grocery shopping there.
I've been to that 7-Eleven.
It was great.
I've been to that 7-Eleven.
So I get a Gatorade, and I like, before I had the Gatorade, we were upstairs on like the 35th floor or whatever. It was like a solid 10 minutes of me like, not like leaning over the edge like I'm going to puke or die. I was like, the wind was just smashing me in the face. I was like, I need to wake up. Like, I can't do this. And then I had the Gatorade and rallied, but
yeah.
To do that more than once, like a year, I don't know how you do that.
End of the night. Yeah. End of the night. Cole was loving it and saying, "You know what? Maybe I need to drink more."
Yeah,
and then
absolutely.
The next morning, he was like, "This is why I don't do this shit." He's like, "If someone had I remember the exact quote was, if someone had a gun, I would say just kill me now."
Yeah, I would beg you.
Shit ain't fun, man.
But then I got home. I was like, "Man, that was a fun ass trip."
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly.
I never really got that drunk in Italy, man. There's a cultural thing of like,
we got to get back to the $100. I'm really taken aback. Like, how much would you say you spent total on alcohol then? What weren't you drinking is the game
you
we should have been playing.
You got to think a bottle of wine in Italy is going to be like, I don't know.
It's free. Like, we have so much of this.
The lowest I paid at one point, so 2 euros is about $2.60. And I got a liter of wine in a carafe at a restaurant for 2 euros. Like a nice restaurant.
That's cheaper than like orange juice.
Yeah, dude. Wow.
There was one point where on the check, the wine was cheaper than the water.
Okay. Wow. That's insane.
Okay.
All right.
Tell me.
I really want to drink now. We're both drinking water. This is terrible.
What are you drinking, Chuck?
I ain't got shit.
I'm drinking a new. I brought my new drink style back. There's 2 drinks I'm in love with now after being over there for just 1 week. That's how quick I am to change my shit up.
spaghetti sauce?
First of all, I love Lambrusco, which is really hard to get the good kind in the United States, I found out. But it's basically like
Lambrusco, huh?
It's basically like a sparkling red wine. But tonight, I am drinking a Negroni, which is some... Okay. Cole, this shit is right up your alley, because I know how you like
some
to drink.
The racist beer?
It is. It's gin, Campari, and sweet vermouth.
Okay.
Okay.
So right. It's kind of somewhere between... Well, it's kind of like a... It's
like a gin Manhattan.
It's like a bitter Manhattan, which I feel like you're more into, like, I want a bitter Manhattan than a sweet Manhattan anyway.
Yeah.
So I think you would love this.
Ain't no sweetheart. Yeah. No, I hear you. It's funny because being around the giant gorilla dog things, like, I forgot. I was like, God, like...
Do those guys throw down?
Well...
Can they drink?
But there's that. I know, yes, they can. But yeah. It's the same thing as with Chuck, where it's like, oh, I forgot, like... When I'm at home, like, I might, like, smoke weed or, like, just do nothing.
Right.
But, like, when, like, drinkers are always, like, drinking.
True.
You know, like, when it's around, they're definitely going to drink.
Yeah.
Chuck, I want you to paint delicious tomato sauce pictures for me of the food that you had.
All right. I went to a restaurant. There's a dude named Michael White who's on a couple of the Bourdain episodes and owns a bunch of restaurants in New York City, one being Osteria Marini. There's actually an Osteria Marini in D.C. now. You should check it out down by Nationals Park. But
Osteria Marini?
Yeah, Osteria Marini. But I went to the restaurant where he trained to cook for like 10 years. It's in a small town called Imola, which is about like a half an hour on the train from Bologna where I was staying. It's called Imola. It's got 2 Michelin stars. They have a thing called, it's egg yolk ravioli.
Okay, that sounds serious.
So it has like cheese and spinach inside of a piece of ravioli, as well as an egg yolk that's warmed up, but it still comes running out. Then it had melted cheese and truffles on top of it. It was the craziest shit. It was the craziest shit. I mean, I honestly, like, I had it, and then I just looked at the chef, and I was like,
touchdown, easy, and Darren Sharp a whole
Let me. I bet you it wasn't too. It was like it was rich and flavorful, but it wasn't like gross, like the way you'll get like a food in America.
No, it was very. The portion control was almost for honestly. That was the one meal that for the price of it, I was like, really? It's only that much?
Yeah.
You want to have a little bit?
Yeah.
More?
I was like, I could have really gone in on that, but it was honestly probably the best thing I ate on the trip.
Yeah. Absolutely.
A lot of meats, lots of cheeses too, man. Lots of cheeses.
Yeah,
I want to.
Well, we had that lumped as one thing, right? Meats and cheeses. When we went, so in episode 62, we ranked what things Chuck
was looking
forward to.
They had to go together.
Can't separate the meats and the cheese.
I think I'm more about the cheese, man. And here's the weird thing: like, Steve can probably provide some perspective on this. We won't talk about exactly what his lovely wife does for a living. But let's just say it could in some...
She a cheese maker?
She's somehow involved in...
See where he's going with this. Oh, breast milk cheese. Yeah, exactly. I'm there.
That they don't... They're not required to pasteurize stuff over there. And some of the people were arguing that that's why it tastes so much better.
Okay.
How do you feel about that? I mean, I feel like with things like Ebola, I'm like, of all places on planet Earth right now, like America, I'm not super worried about it. Where places where they don't pasteurize milk, I'm like, I might be worried about it over there.
Right.
I mean, all I can say is I had a thing that was
the milk.
It was mozzarella with butter in it.
Like
as that was like how it was prepared, you cut and like butter came out of it. I mean,
dude, do Italian people like not have teeth or something? All the food you've been describing is just like gooey. It's like a gooey mess.
You know what's interesting is there's like portion control and there's the meals take so long that I feel like even though they eat all this crazy shit, when you see a fat person in Italy, you might as well just go up and start talking to them about the fucking Yankees because they're American.
Huh.
Is it because, so you're like, yo, I just ate a lot of food, but I ate it over the course of 4 hours and talked the whole time, and the gesticulations with my hands were burning calories.
That, pretty much, yeah. They're
yo!
Like, they're like, yo, what?
Did you meet any Americans over there, Chuck?
When I was in Florence for one night, it felt like more people there were American than Italian.
Okay.
Bologna, the way I described it was this. So Bologna is like... If you're going to Italy, that's a really strange place to pick to go, just on popularity. So it'd be like if you were traveling to the United States from Europe, You would end up going to Los Angeles, Chicago, New York, maybe Washington, D.C.
Miami,
that's a good point. New Orleans, Vegas. Maybe. Vegas. Yeah. Like, you got your big, your heavy hitters. And in the Italian metaphor, that would be Rome, Florence, Milan, Venice, right?
Okay.
Bologna is, like, deciding to go to Charleston, South Carolina. Like, if you would, if you went to Charleston, you'd be, like, one of the only fucking Europeans there.
Okay.
Right? If you went, like, people would be, like, they're not used to, like, you're, so... For us, like, people would, they just come up and start speaking Italian. They're like, they're like, what when the fuck? Like, you.
You look like you belong here.
Dude, I went to, where the fuck did we go? I think we went to Charleston for Memorial Day 2 years ago, and there was a shit ton of people from Brazil speaking Portuguese.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Yeah, I was like, oh, these people have the, they got the, they got the inside scoop.
He just ethered my analogy then.
No,
he's reinforcing it, because that's what you were saying, Chuck. Like
the ones in the know.
Yeah, they're like, yo, like, it's so ill. If you go to Charleston, it's like being in L.A. without the bullshit. And you're, like, you're not quite right, but all right, like, cool.
Which I do want to say, Charleston is one of my favorite cities in the U.S. to visit, for sure.
Why is that?
That's just cool. The food is good. The vibe is good. There's a lot.
Nice weather.
Yeah, nice weather.
Good-looking people.
Okay. You said people.
Good-looking
folks.
They're
all beautiful?
A lot of them, yeah.
Okay.
Just feels good to be there, right? Steve, when you went, you had a good time?
Yeah. Something about the
vibes.
Yeah, the vibes, the like the ocean breeze. Mm-hmm. Something to be said about that.
I like, you can't find like an ocean city where it's littered with hypodermic needles and dirty diapers.
I like cities that are on the water that aren't beach towns, like Boston, Baltimore. I guess New York to some extent is on the water now that I think about it. But I was thinking Boston, Baltimore, and Charleston are like these areas where like you're on the fucking water, like you're on the Atlantic Ocean. And it just feels like you're in a city, except that you kind of smell saltwater.
In 50 years, it'll be in the water.
Well, that too.
Not even that. Yeah, not even
17
that.
Minutes.
Oh, come on. I thought they proved climate change wasn't real.
Yeah.
Said guy from Texas on Vice.
Mm-hmm. So, did I get to this with, speaking of the Crush Kill thing?
No.
Talking about today's the 4 year anniversary. I know we're talking about it off air.
Off air, yeah.
Oh yeah, we should go into a track. Air.
Set off this signal. Up. So we record these on Tuesdays or Thursdays. Today is Thursday, October 16th, and it's the 4 year anniversary of Ideas passing. And so I think I know all three of us were huge fans of his. Like, I think we wanted to acknowledge that. Later on, we're going to play a song called "Even Shadows Have Shadows," that was made by him. And so I wanted to say, like, there's a couple people with the Crush Kill crew that listen. Like, Brady has been super helpful with everything. He was the Idea and Abilities tour manager before Idea passed and became friends with Brady. Like, you know, many shouts to you. Idea's mom, Kathy, talked to her fairly regularly. And she's, you know, like, she needs some support from people. There's always things to do. If you live in that area, like, help her around the house. But just send her some good love, you know, send her a message. And then, of course, Michelle, thank you for help with everything. But it's been interesting to see, like, as now this is the fourth year, like, the love and respect for him as an artist and as a person has not dissipated. If anything, I feel like it's gained momentum in the last 4 years. So it's good to see. And rest in peace to him.
Rest in peace.
Oh, yeah, Steve, you got that queued up over there? Can we go?
Yeah, let's listen to this.
Let's go into that. This is a song. I personally love this track. It's called Even Shadows Have Shadows. It's off of a hip-hop compilation called We Came From Beyond, which I believe was released in 2001. So, go into this. Chrome Bills.
It's got some nice artwork on it.
Chrome Bills, episode 64.
Have you not heard this before? Oh, okay.
Steve has never heard this, so he's going to get his mind blown. As will a lot of our listeners.
I stand alone, burned every bridge over the troubled water. No longer hiding from my personality disorder. A stronger tide is coming, I've been running, trying to function fine without my mind climbing out this fucking corner. I was born a thorn away from the rotten petals of forgotten rebel craft in the absence of heaven's heavy hand to develop an evident level of benevolence. So it's probably better I sell my soul to the devil. This is a message to anyone I met that thinks they know me. Don't pretend to understand none of the issues that I'm holding. I was in a rush to grow up. Look, mom, no cuts, just a stomach of disgust and the fear that I might go nuts this year. If I don't slow up, I'll see you on my way. One day
shit'll kill me, but I guess that it's okay. I've lost all faith in a world so full of hate, and I don't fucking love music, I just use it to escape away. Walk between wanting to punch someone in the face and putting a bullet in my head to lead the human race. Everything takes its toll, but there's no tolls I can take. I haven't yet found a good reason to be awake, and the corroded bones I have behind my smile. I'm angry at the universe for the way she treats me now. It keeps me down, stealing all my energy, feeling like my enemy, concealing my identity, not dealing with my tendencies. I feel the skin and then I squeeze a real imprinted head disease. Not illing in a century, I'm kneeling to the entity who built this penitentiary. As filthy as a centipede and guiltless innocence, cause he was willing to just let me bleed while the war again fades. In 10 years, no check for me, I'll be in the same place. This planet's just an overpopulated mental hospital. Each zombie walk around constitutes another obstacle. So here it is, I'm finally coming out my shell. All 19 years of my life I've been in conflict with myself. I'm insecure about every facet of my existence, from my addictions to the condition I choose to live in. Who you kidding? I suffer from excess anxiety, a product of pollution in American society. Stare into my eyes and see the hell that burns inside my mind, and I no longer have an ego I can hide behind. But I've been fine disregarding my insanity. Every form of art isolates you from humanity, but it's revolt against being force-fed so-called education for a decade and 3 years of headaches from my peers. Now I realize I could have learned more on my own. They taught me how to know everything except my soul, which is everything I need to grow, everything that keeps me whole, everything that ever meant anything to my DNA. So I leave a golden hope to rip the leash that holds my focus, but the fact remains the same. I'm still bound by chains. It doesn't matter if your chain is 10 feet or 100 feet, the fact remains the same. You're still bound by chains. Some people say I've changed and it's harder to relate to me. Good, I never liked you, our friendship was make-believe. I'm peeling the mask back and revealing the wrath that's been filling my organs, drilling short distorted fortunes. A more masochistic tortured and unfortunately crafted an interest to orbit my portrait and inflict my image with disorder. The minutes get shorter, walls start to close in. Feels like the brain is hanging on by one post, and I've hidden in the darkness for too long. I make it look alright when on the inside it's all wrong. I want life to change, but I don't know if it can. For a man, a machine, or whatever the fuck I am, I stand alone. Burned every bridge over the troubled border. No longer hiding from my personality disorder. You wanna die, my life will come and stay in madness's favorite little corner. Cause even shadows have shadows, and my secrets are eating me eagerly, fiending to scream my dreams away, but they can even shadow me. Have shadows to the filthy subconscious of an actor who murdered his childhood to stop the audience. Even shadows have shadows. How am I to break free from my fears when I don't like what I see and I can't feel what I hear? Even shadows have shadows. So don't judge my book by its cover, cause my story's just as fucked up as any other.
The one and only idea. Only shadows have shadows. Before we go into that song, I want to rattle off the list of artists on this compilation that came out. It's actually a pretty impressive list when you go back 13 years later and look at it. Freestyle Fellowship.
Who are you?
Idea. Pep.
Who are you?
Pep Love.
Who are you?
Mighty.
Who? Who's
Mighty?
Tep Love?
Pep Love.
Pep Love.
Pep Love.
Oh, Pep Love, yes.
Tepid Love. Of different styles.
Mighty Casey. I don't know who that is, to be honest.
Who are you?
You don't know who Mighty Casey is?
Nope.
He's from Boston.
Okay.
He is. He's most well known for a song called "White Girls," which is a is an ode to the song "White Lines" by Grandmaster Flash
okay.
and the Furious Five. And he's talking about picking up white girls, and there's a really funny video. I would suggest checking it out.
I always thought it was weird because it was Sean Casey, the ex first baseman of the Boston Red Sox.
Okay.
Oh, different guy. I'm sorry.
Dilated Peoples, Blackalicious.
Never heard of him.
Who are you?
Count Bass D.
Who are you?
Atmosphere.
Never heard of him.
Who are you?
Little.
Speaking of which, Atmosphere. We had Slug of Atmosphere on episode 60.
61.
61. Yeah. Backtrack, check it out.
Big shout out.
Little group called the Beastie Boys, if you ever heard of them.
Who are you?
Are you serious?
We had
Beastie Boys.
We had Dan LaRoy on episode, I think it was in the 50s.
Yeah.
He wrote a book about the about Paul's Boutique. I think we've interviewed somebody who interviewed every one of these people.
True.
All right, so truth be told, I'm digging a little deeper, and it's a remix of the song "Pass the Mic," so that's the only
okay,
one.
Okay, I was gonna say
that's the only one that's not an original song for the.
I'm surprised that they even got the. I'm surprised that they got the rights to do that from the Beastie Boys.
The rights to the mic
from Grand Royale.
From Grand Royal. Yeah,
you don't have a right to this mic.
You can't. You have to fight for your right to put out "Pass the Mic" remix.
You gotta.
Well played. That was good.
All right, let me rattle off. We got four more. Five more. AWOL 1, Jurassic 5.
Who are you? Who are you?
Motion Man featuring Cutmaster Kirk.
Who Who are you?
The Rob One All Stars.
Like Motion Man.
Who are you?
And then
wait, who?
The Rob One All Stars. And then I got the
Rob Two All Stars.
I know the Rob Two. I know the Rob Two All Stars. I've never heard of the Rob.
Did I tell you actually big signing? Before I get to the last group on this, big signing for Different Styles over the weekend. One of my favorite DJs, Cam Two.
Cam Two. Yeah, true that.
How about this? This is so Steve Jarek right here. Fat Head and DJ Fred C.
Who are you?
Oh, shit. That's the song I want to hear.
Fred C.
I want to hear Fathead and Fred C.
If you just have your name and the initial of your last name, Steve's like, I will buy every record you ever made.
That's guaranteed.
Mm-hmm.
Do you want to get... I actually sent you guys...
Have you heard some funny, Cole P and Chuck H? Picks.
Cole P and Chuck H. Yes, yes, y'all. To the beach,
It would have to be Coley P and Chucky H.
I like that. Yeah, we would definitely have to give ourselves nicknames. For sure.
So I got a new segment for you guys.
Okay. Before we move on, I want to say how fucking excited I am about this. Because I went back and listened. I was on the road, and I went back and listened. Do you remember the live reads you used to do
for the
things that you came up with?
They were good.
I need more. I need that,
I'm
Steve.
Very tired.
I need more of that, Steve.
I'm very tired.
The Nectarine. How many live reads have happened since the birth of Steve's lovely daughter?
All right, don't give me any. I don't want trouble.
Yeah.
I don't need the trouble.
Can your baby read and write yet? Get her putting jokes together.
She is crawling now.
Is she really? Congratulations. Yeah, that's awesome.
She's crawling. On the move.
How do you
it's frightening.
How do you feel like
it's
that?
It's frightening. Well, number one, you have to vacuum a lot more. Okay. You know, that's the first thing. That's the first thing.
You got a lot of like nails laying around? Like, what are you saying about?
No, you just like, you know, floor grime. You don't want her rolling around in that.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
God damn
plus
it.
You got cats, which you could easily just open the door and let them run out.
If you haven't noticed,
there's
a gate at the top of the steps now. The cats have been banished to the basement.
I got here and your lovely wife was sitting upstairs eating dinner. I was like, hi, and she's like, hi, and I could tell. I was like, she's eating dinner, like reading, like I was just ready to make a beeline.
Reading Tolstoy.
Yeah, you know, educating herself.
Right.
While we all read ESPN, and I was standing there. I was like, oh my god. How awkward is it going to be like 30 seconds from now when she's like, why is he still here? And I can't open the fucking gate. But I did it quickly.
Congratulations.
What's your segment, dog?
Cole, by the way, hates all forms of technology. It's not specifically locked in on electronics. So he's like, what's up with this gate, bro? Fuck this gate.
Yeah. Pick it up and throw it.
This door handle.
And then really. In my head, I'm like, how can I tell Steve that me getting down here once a week is more important than his baby's safety?
Cole would put it as a weird hypothetical. So let me ask you a question.
Right. I'm going to ask. But I bring a lot to the table.
You do.
What do you got?
Except for beers on a Thursday night.
So now this
did
is the
you
thing,
forget
though.
Drinks
I
too?
Do you, I would, if you would have asked me, I would have said, please don't bring any alcohol.
Okay.
But now that you're
here.
But
that's on me.
Now and I'm looking at Chuck drink. I want to drink.
We've had I will say this. The last time I came over, didn't I bring like a 12-pack of Stella? What the hell? No, that was a
that was
a while ago.
That was a month ago.
But the last time I was here, we went and got
you
beer.
No, you hooked it up.
No, it's not even. I'm trying to think of like, are you sure there's no beer in the fridge?
Oh, I'm definitely sure. Yeah, that was gone quick.
You're going to crawl to
Steve,
the liquor
store. Steve, do you ever know, have you ever heard so clearly sometimes how Cole's not an alcoholic?
Yeah,
like
it's
he's
amazing.
Just like, dude. He's like, did you even check the fridge? Steve's like, I checked the fridge like 4 days ago.
I checked the trash cans.
I checked it four times.
I know it's in the fridge every morning, all right?
It's actually funny because my dad, I guess he doesn't really know what alcohol I like, so he just brings over alcohol sometimes.
How is that possible? Doesn't he run a bar?
He does, but he's not paying attention to what I like, right? So he brought over four Bartles and James margaritas.
Oh my god!
Okay, so it's a malt liquor margarita, and then he brought over a Corona 40-ounce, which was fine. I'm good with that.
I like that.
And then
are you?
I was good with the Corona 40-ounce. I was like, cool. That's a win. And then it was a bottle of. Like pink Zinfandel.
Okay.
Right? Because he thought...
Was he like, we're going to drink all this tonight?
No, he's like, oh, I just brought a couple drinks over. And I was like, god damn it.
Yeah.
Because you know why? I drank all of that. I drank it all.
That's how long did it take you?
A couple days, you know. I just, but I was like, every time, I'm like, all right, well, this is what's here, and that's what I'm.
You
gonna
remember
drink.
Like last whatever episode we were talking about, like the jazz, the homie unknown of the jazz addicts,
yeah,
and you know, we
his
made
addiction
the,
to jazz. Yes.
We were making the joke because like when it's like Saturday afternoon and you're listening to Kenny G, like that's rock bottom for a jazz addict.
Yeah,
I feel like you just had your Kenny G moment,
right?
You know what I mean?
Yeah,
you drank a 40 of Corona, a bottle of Zinfandel, and 4 malt liquor wine.
I was drinking
these
the
are all at once.
Streisand.
These are all on the same day.
No, not at once.
You just
poured it
in a big bowl.
No, I probably I took out two of the bottles and
one
James.
One for me, one for you. Well,
two of the bottles and
the
James
40
on Monday.
Coronas
two, the other two on Tuesday.
Yeah.
Then half of the bottle Wednesday, half of the other bottle.
How did the all right, so two questions. How did you cover up the Corona after you put, was it a screw off cap?
Oh no, I used a wine
So you put a cork in
I
it.
I put a cork in it, yeah.
Fancy.
Corked a beer.
Wow. This is getting worse and worse for the alcoholism. All right. How did you feel after the malt liquor margaritas?
Sick. Yeah, I didn't really feel well.
I mean, that's so much sugar.
It tasted terrible.
Are you supposed to drink them cold?
It was cold.
Okay. Not cold enough.
Oh, yeah, I don't know. I don't know if you can mask that.
Who are the people that
if you're out there,
like
don't.
Those? Who's
I don't
the target
know.
Audience? I've, like, do they have repeat buyers, or is that just for like teenagers and then adults that really don't like alcohol and drink like once
I
in
remember
a while?
Drinking Zima when I was like 14. I was like, yeah. Yo, like, I'm only 14, and even I wouldn't drink this shit. Like, who is this for?
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I wonder
know.
If that there's still
somebody
that
somebody must be drinking malt liquor margaritas besides me.
Can you nurse it? And you're like, this is the one drink I'm going to have all night. I feel like it's like dessert wine, like with like crack in it. It's just too thick to
it
have
was,
too much
was,
of it.
It wasn't good. Okay. I don't even want to think about it.
Okay.
Yeah, I had a stomach.
Would you
ache.
Drink one if you had no, if
I
you
actually,
had one now?
I actually think it was a night that he did this twice. He brought 4 packs of margarita shit or whatever.
Okay.
And one of the nights I paired it with a meal from Noodle King, and I was fucked up for a day, dude. I was banged up for 24 hours
wow.
from that.
I'm not sure. Like, I know what you mean by pairing. I feel like
I was gonna say
like
the
mashup.
Use of the Chuck word
was,
pair
Chuck was
right
like
there.
A rap rock mashup.
Chuck was pairing, you know, egg yolk souffle yeah. served on like a bunny tail, and like, and with the. With the port, and here I am pairing Noodle King with them.
Dude, that's what I was going to say. I feel like the word pair was used very, very loosely right there.
That yeah. was a strong
very
pairing.
Loose. Yeah. Like that was yeah. that was like P-A-R-E.
Yo, that you know would be amazing if you had a first date with somebody.
Yeah.
And then you're like, hey, tonight, like we're going to pair the Noodle King. With,
yeah.
Yeah.
Well, it's funny you say that because like, so I started talking to a beautiful woman. And so we're going to hang out, but it's the kind of thing I'm like, you're like, you guys like make fun of me for like how I operate. And I'm like, what adjustments am I going to have to make? Like if this shit gets serious,
are you going to show up at our house with a towel over your shoulder
and sweatpants and flip flops? Like what's for dinner? What time is PTI?
What would be amazing is if she came over with a towel over her shoulder and you're like, honey, I think I love you.
Yeah. Or if I was like, yo, like, you got to clean up your act. What are you doing?
What are you doing?
I'm like, what do you do for a living? She's like, I have a pretty shitty federal government job. Like, I sell paintings. I travel like 3 times a year. I make no money.
She's like, in 2 days a week, I play field hockey with my girls.
Yeah.
It actually sounds like a really good
I
sitcom.
I walk around screaming at people.
Sounds
for
like
no reason.
A good sitcom.
Yo, that actually, I agree. We need to pitch that shit to NBC because they're looking for a
life
raft.
Yeah, that's
raft.
A good one, dude. Yeah. Holy fuck.
Yeah.
That could be the life.
I'm just picturing this girl with like a.
Well,
I'm just picturing what she looks like. Right
she,
now.
Well, here's the thing. It's funny because I told the first time we actually met in person, she's like, you wouldn't even make eye contact. But I was like, I was scared as shit. I was like, yo, like you're very pretty, but like you really seem like you have your shit together. Mm-hmm. And it's not so much that I don't. It's just I don't to the level that people that meet me in that environment think I do. You know what I mean?
Right.
But I mean, at some point. You like somebody enough, you fucking start wearing shoes when you go outside.
Right,
you know
right.
what I mean? What's your segment?
Okay. This segment is called Reading Liner Note Shoutouts from Old Rap Tapes.
Yes. I love it. Right. I love it.
Steve Bills, the one and only. I love it.
So this is from Ultramagnetic Critical Beatdown. And I was actually taking a shit reading tapes, the back of tapes, you know? And... I started picking out. I did.
Is there a tape player in the bathroom, or did you just put a box of tapes in there?
I did. I had a tape player in the bathroom. I since pulled it out.
While you were fixing the bathroom earlier?
Yeah.
Okay.
So I'm reading these names, and I was like, these are all different styles members, but so these are the guys that Ultra Magnetic shouted out. For the Critical Beatdown album.
And I bet you there's a high percentage of them that are absolutely fake, because those dudes were fucking weirdos.
No, I think these
are real.
I bet
all of these are real, but we should also do a bit number two where we try and find Facebook pages for any of these guys.
Oh, I already did it.
Pretty. Wow.
No, I didn't find a Facebook page. I started going and trying to find old records from these guys.
Oh, I thought you were going to say a LinkedIn page. Go ahead.
No, but LinkedIn page would be good. All right, so number one. Shout-outs to Chili Q, Cutmaster Butter, The Ultimate Destroyer, Rat and Pee-wee, which I'm guessing is a group, Rat and Pee-wee.
Okay.
We're brothers.
This one's really good. Crazy Eddie and the People's Choice Crew.
Okay.
That sounds like a good group. I God and the Five Star.
Okay. Those guys
we don't know what
might be 5%ers.
They might be, but yeah, like a five star what, you know?
Five star general.
Okay.
Not the hotels I was staying in.
All right, Slim Tim. Technolo-G.
I'm really digging the creativity of these
Yo,
names.
Slim Tim is like a garbage pail kid too, I'm sure of it.
It's like too skinny for his own good.
And lastly, Mikey D and the LA Posse. Got a shout out.
You brought it full circle.
Yeah, Mikey D, the LA Posse got a shout out.
What's the real name and what's the one I said? Because every time you say it, I think you're saying the joke one.
No, Mikey D and the LA Posse is a real crew.
And what did I say? Freddie B and I thought Freddie B and the Mike Masters was someone else.
Freddie B and the Mike Masters is another group.
But one of the
I feel like you could rattle off a bunch of like
you said Frankie B and the West Side Posse.
That's what it was. Okay.
And I guarantee you there was that.
There's no Frankie B in the West Side Posse.
How do you know?
I don't know.
I was on their Facebook page earlier.
So let me bring it full circle again.
Okay.
The latest one Epstein with Funkmaster Flex.
Okay.
He talks about Chili Q.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
And Frankie Chili D Q and the Mike Masters. No, what was it?
And Freddie B and the Mike Masters.
I like that.
Yeah. So Chili Q was on the radio. Like, he was early rap radio with, like, Red Alert Red Alert and Marley Marl. So there was a DJ called Chili Q.
Okay.
Didn't know that until the interview. And then I saw him getting shouted out on the fucking shitter.
Yo, and by the way, just slightly relevant to that, is there...
Yeah.
On Sunday, the Anthony Bourdain show on CNN, Parts Unknown, 2 weeks ago, but it'd be very easy to find on demand or online... The place they went was the Bronx, and it started at the record store that Kool Herc said he used to, it's called Moni's, I think.
Okay.
And Kool Herc is there, and they have like four or five of the legends being interviewed and taking Bourdain around to like restaurants and record stores. It's worth checking.
Oh, crazy.
It's not the whole episode, but it's there's a hip hop component for an hour show for 15 or 20 minutes of it.
That's really dope.
All right, should we all know what the address of like the first Kool Herc show that's like quote unquote like the beginning of hip hop? Address of the building?
Do you know it?
I think it's 173 Sedgwick, but I'm not sure.
Okay.
I know it's Sedgwick Avenue, but I don't know. I think for some reason I want to say 173rd.
Okay.
Wait, Sedgwick is in, so the first show was in the Bronx or he was just from the Bronx?
I think the first show was in the Bronx.
Okay.
It was like at an apartment building and like in the break room of an apartment building or something.
Because what's interesting about the Funk Flex shit is a lot of those shows are in basically Midtown Manhattan, right?
What's that?
When Flex is talking about like the rap shit in the late 80s and 90s, like when he's popping.
I mean, he's talking about, it's Manhattan.
No, but it's all like Midtown Manhattan. And what's funny to me is that definitely there's like nothing like that goes on anymore.
Okay.
That I'm aware of.
Dude, Funkmaster Flex has been around for a long time.
Who are you?
Like, he's been in the game for a long, long time.
How old are you?
I think he said he was born in 67.
Okay.
So, there you go.
It's older than me, I'll tell you that much.
But he tells that story like he wasn't even really popping until like 90, But then his star just like took off so fast.
Yeah, but dude, he was like carrying Chuck Chillout's crates for however many years, you
which
know?
Is years yeah, in the game.
Which is the amazing part of his trajectory, yeah. right? Because he definitely deserved to be there.
If you guys want to be entertained, Google Funkmaster Flex beef with other DJs.
Okay,
dude,
he goes after him, huh?
It's not even like he's having a DJ battle with him. Just
talking
this,
shit.
Yeah, just this guy. He's one of the best dudes at talking shit ever.
Yeah.
It's fucking incredible. I don't know. That's all I got.
I feel like that's a very valuable rule.
What you got there?
You what's up?
No. No, I don't.
You sure?
Does that have a margarita mix in it?
It's malt.
the window's open right there. Word up. All right, Chuck.
Boom, boom. I wanted to go into something.
We lost these mics.
I wanted to go into okay. something real I'm quick. Back. I was waiting for the right time to segue.
Uh-oh.
Can we talk about the
fabricator?
This is somewhere between hip-hop and sports, so I know it's like right in that sweet spot for us.
Ah, I know what you... Can I predict what you're going to say?
Yes.
Iggy Azalea versus Snoop Dogg?
Nope.
And Nick Young
nope.
versus Snoop Dogg?
That's, okay. I definitely okay. could care less about that, but we could go to that if Who you want. You? Who are I want to talk about the NFL banning the Beats headphones.
Okay, interesting.
They banned the Beats headphones?
Yeah, well, they banned them, and they've been fining people $10,000 every time they're caught on camera wearing them to and from the bus.
That's ridiculous. Wow. That's fucking ridiculous.
Are they not allowed to wear headphones, period, or just those?
Just the Beats.
Because they cover the ears, or is there association with...
I was really hoping you guys knew, because I was just catching blips of it on like CNN World when I was out of town, but...
Okay. Yeah. No. It's because they have a contract with like some other headphone maker, I think.
Are you sure?
Is there another?
It's interesting because
like the NFL's no. Yeah, the NFL is Bose. Like they partner with Bose.
Bose.
Right? That's one of the big sponsors for the NFL. And Bose is competing with Beats.
You know, it's funny when people are like, yeah, like if you live in China, like it's just propaganda and like you never hear the actual news of what's going on in the country. You know, I'm like, I can't even imagine that. I watch when I was on the road, like I couldn't believe this, but the hotel rooms, they would have NFL Network. And like when I got home, I was like, I only watched 4 hours of games on Sunday. Like I need to spend eight more hours watching NFL Network. I never heard this mentioned on NFL Network. This is the first I've heard of it. It makes sense now. Like when I would scroll through headlines, I was like, why is Yahoo talking about this? But Yahoo's stupid, so I didn't even check it. I didn't know that they'd been banned and that you're going to get fined for wearing them.
That's ridiculous.
We're approved, though, right?
Yeah. What are these?
Well, I don't know, but I feel like there's no like Jerry Jones above us who's going to be like, you're in trouble now, kid.
Like what we should do is come out with our own headset line called okay. Beats by Andre.
Okay.
Like are those Beats by Dre? Like, yeah kind of.
Well, you know, we could do that because there's Andre the Champagne that's like just accepted as like the worst champagne.
Yeah, Beats
and there's by Andre yeah. from the league, which kind of has a nice little football like cross section there.
Chuck, yep. How do you feel? You think it's kind of fascist on their part?
I'm trying to figure out where it even came from. I was hoping you guys would know and I'd get to catch up, but apparently you're right.
I think that's it, man. I think
you guys were right that it's Bose. It has something to do with a contract agreement with Bose. I mean, to me, that's I don't know. I mean,
it's
work, right? It's kind of work.
It's a corporate versus corporate shit. You know
but I mean? Well, you've never been at work where they were like, you better only be wearing Calvin Klein suits to meetings.
That would be fucking weird, right?
Like I've had them be like, you better wear a suit tomorrow. But never specify the brand.
Well, that's just it. They're all about branding. They're branding their teams, branding the sponsors that they have. You know, like when people, I mean, it was such an easy thing when Budweiser was like, we're going to drop the NFL because of what Ray Rice did. I was like, no, you're not.
Right.
You just, it's so easy for you to say that, but that ain't going to happen.
Right.
You're two fucking vampires that need each other to just suck everybody dry. You couldn't exist on your own.
It's interesting
because when did it become a thing?
It just made me wonder, like, who is going to be the first company, like major company, like if Chase did it, like JP Morgan Chase or Citibank, who was like, we will only wear like Calvin Klein dress clothes, like as an entire company. Whoa. Think about all the product placement. We have a million people in meetings right this second.
Oh my god, that's intense.
We need to remove our sponsorship of the NFL. We should draft like an official statement, like at Chrome Bills, we can no longer sponsor the NFL. Like we're ending like a 25-year partnership. People are like, who the fuck are these guys? I wonder if that would allow us to gain a little traction. And it's just Andy Kaufman enough to work. You know what I mean?
It's good.
Who are you?
I'm all for it. I'm all for it, for the record.
Chuck, I see you're wearing an O's shirt. Were you heartbroken that they lost?
This is actually a... I held up the...
Oh, the Grilled Lincoln.
I held up a...
Is that a Grilled Lincoln shirt?
Yeah.
Tight shirt.
I held up the logo like I was a girl with her tits out. Because I wanted to get the whole, I wanted to get the whole thing on the camera, but
damn,
yeah, it's a picture of Abe Lincoln wearing a wearing an O's hat, and it says the Grilled Lincolns. Shout out, friends of the show,
friends of the show.
Who are you? Who are you?
Big Slop.
Big Slop.
Mm-hmm. The homie Jay Crawdad.
Some of the most fun I've ever had freestyling, honestly, has been with those guys for sure. I've been I told you guys I've been doing that stuff with the band up here now, where I'm working with two guys that are learning how to play a bunch of the songs off of the album I just put out. And it's interesting how the non-supercomputer rigid structure of rhyming to a rap song makes you like kind of reinvent verses a little bit. And I always remember that with like the Grilled Lincolns, is that you just feel it. Like if it was a hype night and you were doing the same song, maybe it was just like 2 BPM quicker that night, you know, just because like everyone felt it and you would never even notice. Or like the chorus would get real hype, but like everyone's just following the drummer. So if it goes a little bit faster, it just seems like it should be that way.
I did want to mention, speaking of crews that we use to cipher with, Kansai of Minds One.
Who are you?
Tronic.
Who are you?
Have an album called Pillars with Kev Brown.
Who are you?
It's really dope, man. I mean, it's definitely one of those. I feel like, and we were talking about this off signal, as we like to put it here on Chrome Bills, how their voices fit together really well. You know, Joe has got like the deeper voice. Tronic gets a little bit higher up, like a little bit more feisty. Joe's sort of the mellow dude of the two. And we were talking about who are the greatest rap duos of all time. Not necessarily like Gangstar, like an MC and a DJ, but like when there was two rappers. I went Smith and Wesson. I feel like at least they were kind of underrated. But then I started thinking like Organized Confusion.
Okay.
You threw out De La Soul.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It would be those two.
Pride and Joy of different styles.
Of Rob Bass and DJ Easy Rock.
No.
Always.
No. Would you consider Raekwon and Ghost a duo?
Oh.
Okay.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay.
Hey. You know.
So I think that's the only thing you can really. Because I was with Cole, like Smith and Wesson sounded right, and I kind of went to like the Artifacts as well in my head, maybe Das FX. But it's like you throw out something like De La. It's like, all right, game over. Game over. Because I know, like, right away, I just go to a couple other things in my head, and I'm like, nope, that's it. But I think Ghost and Ray might be able to bring
Outcast,
up.
Like, Outcast. People are going to say Outcast.
Oh, that's a good point. Outcast.
Well, actually, the two first dudes who started the East Coast, West Coast beef were in different styles, and they were called East and West.
East and West. I'm on the East.
They're like, we used to be cool, but now we fucking hate each other. Who else? There's a lot of them.
I don't know. Latyrix.
The shirt that you're wearing, Edon and Peyton Locke.
Edon and Peyton Locke.
Dude, those guys are pushing the fucking envelope.
Should,
I love
should
it.
Form a super group.
Mm-hmm.
Have you watched? Did you watch any of that? The footage from the.
Yeah, I saw the two of them. I saw
going back and forth.
Edon was wearing the wig.
Yeah.
And the cat. His delivery and physical movements are always so synced up to what he's saying. Peyton Locke was killing it.
He's killing
that
it.
That was dope, man.
I'm gonna go.
He played one of their drops, but they're both 8 minutes long.
I'm gonna go back on Cole and myself and say that was a botch by both of us. Like, I missed the show up here. You didn't go to the show down there. Watching the videos, I mean, that's the type of rap show that I've really gotten to think that rap shows are very boring in general. And then I see stuff like that, and I'm like, that looks just so fucking amazing. That would have been so fun to be at.
Shit, dude. You're adding a level of difficulty, you know?
Yeah.
But making it look
they're
easy.
Serving egg yolk ravioli off of, like, you know.
And they're not pairing it.
They're catapulting it off of a linguine noodle.
Exactly. Just, and not pairing
not
it.
Not pairing it with a bottle of Corona.
Some bottle of James.
With breast milk and butter souffle.
Yeah.
Drizzled down your nose.
All right. Let me talk about this, though. Because I will say this. The last time Chuck. No. 3 times ago now that Chuck was down here.
Okay.
Met up with him and was drinking vodka. Now that's something I could get down with.
Drinking vodka.
Because you don't have the hangover the next day. You can still overdo it, but but it doesn't have the impurities that beer and like whiskey do.
Okay.
And I feel like it's just a lot more.
It still makes you feel sad and empty the next day.
Of course. It's definitely, it's one of those things people are like, whiskey like makes me angry. I'm like, vodka makes me angry as shit. But I want to drink a lot of it.
Yeah.
Do you guys believe that there is a strong difference between...
The way your hat's tilted, I'm a little fucking
between what
off.
Kind of liquor you drink?
Chuck is locked up in the zone over there.
We should, let's go into a song then while we get
What do you mean?
Chuck, you back?
What do you mean? I'm not locked up.
You painted locked up.
Oh, I lock up on your end? Well, that's going to be cool because then it'll make sense why I asked the question and you guys ignored it. But the funny thing is that I've had two Negronis and I don't even remember what the question was. So this will be very fun on the playback.
Two Negronis, kid. All
right, actually, let's play a song.
K Negroni.
Let's play a song by
the
homie.
You got the K to the Grone.
By the homie K Negroni.
K Negroni. Which one is this?
Well, we gonna do the Wu-Tang? You want to do the Wu-Tang or Piss and Vinegar?
Yeah, do the Green Lantern. You got the Green Lantern cream joint?
Yeah, I got it.
Hey, Lil Wow, you going to be back? Yeah, Lil Wow.
Lil Wow.
I'll be back.
All right, so this is DJ Green Lantern. Put out, what would you call this, an EDM song?
I would say it's an EDM song, but it's all over the place, okay, which is what I like about it.
It's pretty bugged out. It's a very bugged out song. All right.
Shout out to a friend of the show, Henley Halem, for putting me up to this.
Boom. If I could only hit play on that.
Life as a shorty shouldn't be so rough. Staying alive was no job.
actually, I want to have this conversation on the show because that's just so fucking interesting. Is that this might have even started as a like a bit, you know, like as a part of his show, and then it's like, oh, people like it. Okay, let's just like record it and really. Did it just end?
Yeah.
All right, so let me restart that thought. But it's like, if I, it's so interesting to me that that song we were talking about him DJing and that killing in places. Steve made the point that it could just be played by any other DJ. Like, someone would just come in. And I feel like it probably started as, like, a routine and, like, a bit that he did in shows. And then it really morphed into a real song. And it's like the... Being a DJ back in the day was a lot harder, right? Because there was no option to record your own shit. Whereas he shouldn't get penalized for the fact that he just sat up and, like, really, like, synced that into a full-fledged MP3.
Right.
But then why would you also ask him to be like, okay, now recreate that? It's like, why? It's right.
Now do that.
It's right here. I can
live.
Just push play.
Well, is there
you don't need to, man. That,
the way that those shows are, like, are there is there video that shows the person on stage? So there's some aesthetic to seeing him visually push the buttons and be, you know what I mean? Like, it's like watching an ill drummer live.
Yeah.
Or it's like watching a DJ.
Well,
you know?
Well, I think the thing with the EDM DJing scene now is people will tell you it's like, it's all about the energy of the DJ. Like, have you seen this guy?
Yeah.
This guy, Steve Aoki, like, opened up for Kendrick Lamar.
Uh-huh.
Across, like, his whole U.S. tour was, like, him and Steve Aoki, right?
Really? I didn't know that. And it makes sense, though.
Yeah. But, like, I was watching the tour video, and every time they show Steve Aoki...
People are going apeshit.
He's not behind the turntables. He's standing in front of the turntables, like, throwing things into the crowd.
Okay.
And he goes and he has, like a kiddie pool, and he crowd surfs inside of the kiddie pool.
Yeah.
But it's that's kind of weird, though, right? Like, you're there to DJ.
So does he just press play on, like, a three-hour mix?
He must be just pressing play or... You know, or
does
just,
he? Did you ever see him go back to the tables and cut?
I never saw him cut anything.
Or blend or nothing.
No, I didn't see him cut anything. But he doesn't have to because people are like, "That's Steve Aoki, the DJ."
Now is that dope or not?
I don't know. It just confuses the hell out of me.
It gets the party live. You know what I mean?
Right. Like you're just there. Like I don't know. It's like you're like a wedding DJ on crack. Like nobody cares if you're really good at blending, but if you have the energy to like
right.
Keep the party going, then fuck yeah, you're the best DJ. Like you could have somebody up there cutting their ass off and it might be boring. You know,
right.
I mean? People might not want
to
hear
that.
Well,
I think the challenge too for DJs used to be that sometimes you'd go into a song and it wouldn't work, and then you'd like come out of it at the first chorus. If it's killing, you might play the whole 4 minutes, you know. And that was like when and now these guys are also getting over on the fact that the crowd loves them so much they never have to adjust their set midstream. Whereas I feel like if you were a DJ in the 80s, like performing on a Friday night at a club in fucking New York or Chicago or LA or wherever, that it was just like people were going to be quick, I don't like this. So you had to like feel out the dance floor. Now it's just like people are like, I'm on so many drugs, I love everything you're playing.
I feel like
they want to hear the drop. They want to hear the build up, and then that point where it's like everything goes crazy. Like yeah, you know what I mean.
Your high peaks,
and that's what they want. People will just want that drop to happen over and over again.
The ecstasy is causing blood to drip from your skull
and
your spine.
Like I'm not trying to diss that Green Lantern song, but did you hear the format? It was like slow build up, and then a point where it dropped, and there was three of those, and it was like all right. This many seconds and then a drop. This many seconds and then a drop.
It's funny because when you said wedding DJs on crack, which is actually going to be the title of this episode.
All right.
I feel like it's a very apropos comparison because Cole's comparisons. Like a wedding band or a wedding DJ, it's like, yo, like, don't be fucking playing, you know, The Shining. You know, don't play anything like off Cruel Feet. Like, play the hits. Now, there's a huge catalog to, you know, like the Electric Boogie. Like, that's at every wedding and shit like that. It's like, you got 400 that you can pick from. Like, you know, have your own flavor, but you're going to be picking from these songs.
Right.
I feel like when an EDM DJ goes in with a song like that or just like people like, holy shit, this guy's amazing. Like, he knows his parameters.
Okay.
That's not the time to be trying new shit. But like he's got a big enough catalog, and because of that style of music, like you could cut it a certain way.
Uh-huh.
I feel like
I will say this. Let me jump in on just one thought lead. On that. Is that song is way more eclectic than a lot of EDM songs because they brought the sample in. If it was just Cream and then EDM Cream, I feel like that's a very easy sell. But the fact that they go into Which also, for the record, the song that Cream is sampled from, and Steve probably knows exactly what it is a beautiful, beautiful piece of music. Like, that's what's great about it, is it goes all the way back to that.
It's a nice song, man. The whole, you know, they just took the piano or whatever out of the beginning, but that whole song is beautiful, yeah. Phil, I think Phil Spector produced that song.
He did.
A friend of the show.
Do you know Phil Spector?
I did. He's actually getting beer. I texted him while during the when we were playing the song. I was like, Phil, look.
That guy's fucking crazy.
You're probably a murderer.
Right.
But Steve wants some. He wants some beer. You could get a couple.
He said actually he texted really me. I think he thinks I'm down there, and he said the beer's on the way. He just had to take care of something. Which I don't know how I felt about that.
He actually wrote, it said, take care of something. And then in the next line, you know, in text, it said, asterisk, someone.
Murder.
Yeah.
I'm stabbing somebody. Hold on.
Yeah. Yeah. Right. Phil, you're killing the game. By the game, I mean your ex-wife.
He didn't know stabbing cabin was just slang.
Yeah. Whoa.
Whoa.
Yikes. The stabbing cabin. What else we got? I feel like... So we talked about where my travels, my traverses.
We got 13 minutes.
Chuck the Globe. Okay. We talked about Chuck the Globetrotter. I feel like this will be a good.
I haven't done shit.
Okay. Now, how are you with that? You've had a lot going on.
Man, it's been nice to really not have much to do.
Good.
Yeah, it's been real nice. I cleaned. I did a lot of cleaning.
Wow. Okay. You know?
I actually mopped some floors.
Okay. Now, what's your mop game like?
Strong.
Okay.
Strong. What's your mop Swiffer game like? Swiffer?
My Swiffer game is on point.
Okay.
You got to sweep twice before you hit it with the, you know, the wet.
All right, you guys are killing me right now, but I can segue it. I can bring it back to the show.
I'm liking
it. I can bring it back to the show and say, if you were doing some cleaning around the house, because I like that. Okay. I want to bring this back to how you had tapes and a tape player in the bathroom when you were working on the bathroom. You doing stuff?
I listened to that King Son Righteous But Ruthless album a thousand times.
You doing stuff around the house? Are you speakers or headphones? And what are you listening to? And what medium?
Interesting.
Ooh.
Very interesting.
I've done a lot of home repairs with a tape deck and cassette tapes.
Okay.
For some reason, there's just something good about letting it ride.
Yeah.
And flipping that tape over, you know?
Yeah. Well, it gives you a sense of like a mile marker.
Your mile marker.
I just got through side A. Time to flip this over.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know what? It's interesting. We've had the conversation, I believe, on here. I'm such a snob about how I listen to music.
Yeah.
I can't listen to music in earbuds. So depending on what I'm doing, like where I live, like laundry, you have to like go to the basement, like use a machine. Like it's a thing.
Yeah.
I'll listen to music then, have the headphones on. Now that it's getting a little bit colder outside, it's definitely going to be a musical fall.
You know,
but if not, I'm listening to podcasts. I'm listening to Chrome Bills.
Okay.
Listening to Tony Kornheiser.
Cold Policy.
Friend of the show. I'm listening to Oh Yeah Dude.
Actually, I was bumping, now that we got iPhones and Spotify, so just setting the iPhone down and letting it ride on albums.
Go where you want to go.
Also super money.
You take control.
Dude, I listened to the Milo album.
Yeah.
The guy from Hellfire Club.
Toothpaste Suburb.
Fuck, man.
Who is this?
I tell you what, dude. Milo? His name is right? Is that right?
So there's the Hellfire Club is Bus Driver, like the OG dude.
Uh-huh.
There's Open Mic Eagle. I know I'm going to end up forgetting. Oh, fucking No Can Do.
No Can Do.
And then Open Mic Eagle and then Milo.
Oh, wow.
I didn't realize. Okay, so it's four dudes in there. Man, so I think I've pinpointed what I enjoyed about it the most. Like, you know when you watch battle rap and these guys are stringing together,
mm-hmm.
you know, it's like syllable after syllable, you know, hair grease, hair piece, you
right,
know,
right.
whatever. I'm not even going
to. You're scared.
I'm not even going to try to do this.
Yeah. I know what you mean, but then.
Okay, but then he's doing that. He's doing that style to a beat, right? And then there's no stupid gun references or like he's not trying to insult somebody. He's just following that train of thought and putting those. All these intricate schemes together.
That's my favorite part about That's my favorite part about the Even Shadows of Shadows, the idea song that we played. Like
he was going through crazy schemes on
right,
that.
Yeah. Right, and did like different kinds of deliveries. Because I think I thought where you were going to go with it was he'll come at you with all these patterns, and then like he knows when to just like can hand.
Right.
You know, like then he knows how to simple give you a complex idea in a simple way. I think he's a very good writer.
He's got some ill lines. Like one of his lines was like, people don't die, they expire.
Right.
Like, and it's just stuff that it makes you think. Like, I forget what he said.
I got a thought real quick. So, you know, there's Rap Genius, but also, Cole, you know how like we would say, There's very much like different schemes that you can use for writing a rap lyric. And
okay, I like where you're going.
I wonder if like if we came up with a system of how you show the schemes in a verse, where and then you just went through that and actually did like rap schemius.
Oh wow, that's
very good. Holy shit,
that's a
good
idea.
We should not air this part of it because okay. Someone was yo. That's a great idea.
It's like doing musical notation for rapping.
Well, I feel like
they did that for scratching. There is that thing for DJs.
Like you got your crab or like you got the different.
Yeah, there's somebody took the time out to show what a scratch sounds like on a musical note.
Right.
So to do that with. Rhyming would be kind
no,
of
but I don't want to do it with it's you not have, musical
you
notes.
Yeah, but you need to figure out how to. Do you need to figure out how to even draw that?
Well,
how to draw that out?
Well, I think Chuck's saying is like so. There was definitely the high road people that were like, "I'm overstanding them. I hope you're landing, man." You know, like they had like this very like. They all had a different stees,
yeah.
But like Dell and Casual will kind of have like the same like rhyme scheme kind of way.
Okay.
You know
but
what
there's
I mean?
There, but and also I, there's Cat in the Hat, and then there's like I walk,
right.
I talk, it's
right.
a riddle, when a skittle comes and I balk. Like there's that like, all right, so now that's the one where it's like rhyme, internal rhyme, back to original rhyme.
I hope you're listening. I'm steady dissing, man. You know, like that kind of shit. And I feel like
you guys need to get to work on figuring this out.
Well, but that's the thing. So there's that. Like when I would hear, like I feel like that was very prevalent in the battle scene from like the late '90s to early 2000s. Like that's the high road delivery.
Now
and then
it's
now when I watch,
something else.
Yeah, well, I'm like, yo, like you have like the who would be like the father of that? Who was the rapper that really broke that style out?
Oh wow,
you know what I mean?
Eminem.
I feel like he's not. And not that, like, I think his music's soft, but, like, he's not, like, the rough dude. When people are like, oh, we'll fucking, like, punch you through the face. Like, yo, like, this dude might actually mean
no,
that.
But he was doing the...
Sean
he
Price,
was,
maybe.
No, but he was no. doing the he was doing the super intricate
right.
patterns that just kept going.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right. So, all right, so then you got that. You got his style. Like, Sean Price, I feel like, has his style. I feel like Homeboy Sandman, when I listen to his delivery,
yeah.
he has a verse on the... Mine's One and Kev Brown album.
Oh, he does.
And nice. You know, as he's doing, I was like, "Yo, like, you, it's always interesting to me to hear people's guest verses." And like, I'm like, "Did he sleepwalk through this?" No, like it was definitely like a dope one of his verses. But it has such a tangible. If you heard someone else doing that, you'd be like, "You're fucking biting." Like when you heard your old Drew, it was like, right. "Yo, is this dude?" You know what I mean?
No, it's true. Actually, I want to. We should set it up maybe for the next episode. I want to do a joint of just Homeboy Sandman collabos. Because there's the okay. one on the Minds One album, and there's one on the J Live album. So now at that point, we just need to find one more. We can rock through three of them.
That's easy enough, you know?
Okay.
Is there one on the new Diamond District album?
I don't think there were any collab.
No.
Is there guests on that? Is there? I only listened to it once all the way through. Maybe there's one.
I haven't even gotten through it. There's a lot of good music out right now.
Absolutely.
I feel like it's hard to keep track of all this shit, you know?
It's a great time of year.
Flying Lotus just came out with a new album.
Okay.
There's a Kendrick song on there.
Okay.
I'm actually really into a group called Alt-J. Have you ever heard of that?
Never.
Alt-J is on Spotify. It's worth checking out. It's definitely rock music, but I feel like it's rock music for rap fans because the drums, okay. There'll be breakdowns where it's just, those are... They're hip hop drums.
Some open drums.
They're breaks. You could loop them and rhyme to it if the dude wasn't singing on it.
Do you guys know about the Run the Jewels shit?
It's funny, Kubik. So on the way over here, fucking, you know, I've heard a lot of people talking about it.
Yeah.
So I went to Spotify.
Uh-huh.
I downloaded it, and you know, I'm the way I operate is if I hear something that I like on Spotify, then I'll definitely buy it.
Uh huh.
So I get in the car. I'm like, man, I'm fucking like, I'm gonna get like in a Chrome Bill state of mind. You know what I mean?
I think a crime.
The first song goes through. I was like, that was a dope instrumental. Like, great intro. Second beat comes on. I was like, where's the words? I downloaded the instrumental version.
You got the instrumental.
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, here's the thing though. Like,
yeah.
And I'll listen to like sometime when I was listening, I was like, all right, well, how is this different than like the down south, like the trap beats? And that's
it is different though.
That's my point. Like, and then when I was really listening to it, I was like, that's the thing with LP.
Okay.
And I don't want to stand here and jock him like I do every other fucking rat. That dude is on some next shit.
Okay. I'm gonna give you two groups that were doing that same style of beat.
Okay.
I'm not gonna say that's where he got it from.
Okay.
Shabazz Palaces and okay. Death Grips.
Okay.
Both doing those same types of beats.
See, the reason I say it was different, and I'm not familiar with those other two,
okay.
as you are, But like he'd have the elements, but then like on I think the first song he has like it's like it's some kind of horn, and it might even be a saxophone.
I mean, he's got synths, for, you know what I mean? Crazy synths. Well, days.
I almost thought it was live.
Okay.
Like the point that I'm making is he's such a dope musician, like on like Fantastic Damage, like a lot. It was like I was like, yeah, this is a rap beat, but like this is like some next level shit.
The production on Fantastic Damage was out there, man.
Yeah.
Yeah.
TOJ, one of the greatest instrumentals I've ever heard.
Which one?
Time Is Out of Joint, My Love.
Oh.
That and that beat is just ridiculous.
Ridiculous.
Boom, you know that part?
Man, I'm getting loose. Right,
we're getting scatterbrained.
Getting squirrely.
We're getting squirrely and scatterbrained. But yo, actually, it's 10 o'clock, so okay. I gotta wrap
all right, before
this
we
up,
wrap this up, one thing I wrote down that we were talking about, and or Cole made a reference to, but I wanted to elaborate on a list. Rap songs at weddings? What can you play? Steve, as okay. a DJ, what are your rap songs at a wedding?
Okay.
I play... For me, or are you just talking about what would another DJ
you're,
play?
Well, you, all of a sudden, you are DJing a wedding.
Awesome! I'm DJing a wedding for who? My friends or for somebody who
even
hired
for,
me? To
it's
DJ
not like
their
for
wedding.
Your friends you're gonna play Hold Up. So yeah, even your friends.
I might play Hold Up.
Sarah Jones sweepstakes. How about Funky Cold Medina? That's
you're gonna play. You're gonna play Black Sheep. Choice is yours.
Okay.
Right? I can't go wrong.
Jump around.
You're gonna play Electric Relaxation.
Okay.
You're gonna play. Maybe you might play Juicy.
Juicy okay. is. I think right. I'm finally realizing how big a hit Juicy is. Everyone knows all the words to Juicy.
Oh, there you go. That's one of those. That's one of those songs where corny people know.
Corny dudes in the lyrics, they know.
And what are they? Oh, Super Nintendo, Sega Genesis. That's mm-hmm. the line that they
and
know.
And rapping right? Duke yeah. Dahar.
Yeah, the rapping Duke.
Well, the one, should be having my baby. I feel like that one gets thrown out there, too.
Which one is that?
In the few, we going to do what
oh,
we
the
can
biggie,
do.
Oh, the biggie, Big Papa.
Right boot. True.
Oh, right.
Yeah.
She going to have my baby.
Yeah.
You're going to play...
Mama Said Knock You Out. Oh, is it?
No, yeah. They're not going to play Mama Said Knock You Out at a wedding.
Are you going to play OPP? OPP? I was going to go OPP.
Okay, wow.
But it's interesting
there's
how...
There's no X's at the wedding.
Or Hip Hop Hooray.
Okay.
You could sub in Hip Hop Hooray for
okay.
that.
Okay.
You're going to play Just a Friend, maybe.
Okay.
It's funny how yeah. even at weddings,
as the walks out.
Hip Hop Hooray... You think Hip Hop Hooray really plays?
I think it would ring off at a wedding.
Yeah.
I feel like Hip Hop
Hooray
Everybody
likes putting their hands
in the
air.
No, that's true.
And it like Tretch is rhyming way too fast for anyone to be insulted.
You could play Me, Myself, and I at a wedding.
Are people yeah. playing Ice Ice Baby at weddings again now? Because it's like fun.
Yeah,
ironic.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, I think so. I still, I don't.
Bust a Move. That might be
oh,
the staple.
Bust a Move. Wild staple. And Wild Thing blended into Wild okay. Thing.
Yeah. Bust a Move. He kills it though, and it's a hot beat. So, I get it. Of all the songs from that era, like I'll put Bust a Move above any Tone Loc song.
Okay.
Yeah.
I still think they're the same person, but that's okay.
Do you really? Have you had this theory for
yeah,
a long
yeah,
time?
Yeah, but you thought that but you thought your old Droog was
nuts. Yeah, if you you can't tell me that Tone Loc and Young MC aren't the same person.
Wow. Okay.
What if Nas I think
they're
told
the,
you.
I think they're actually on the same. I think they might have been on the
Tone
same.
Tone Loc was like the voice of a teddy bear on a TV cartoon I saw.
Now wasn't he like a real gangbanger before he started?
From
like,
what I've heard, yeah.
Yeah, like
I've heard Tone Loc in interviews, and I don't think he's Young MC.
All right. No, you're right. I'm just fucking around.
His voice is so different.
I want to know what E-40 songs you could play at a wedding.
Sprinkle Me. Hurricane.
Wow. Sprinkle Me is a good pull. Sprinkle Me with what? Angel Dust. Here you go, Grandma. You're going to die soon anyway.
Wait,
you might as well have a new experience.
Brown Sugar is E-40 too? No, that's... Who's Brown Sugar?
What's Brown Sugar?
Isn't there a rap song, Brown
Foxy
Sugar?
Foxy Brown.
Someone Rolling raps, Stones? It's like about heroin.
Brown Sugar. What's the Rolling Stones song?
There's wow, I'm thinking about, there's a D'Angelo song called Brown Sugar, but
Brown
I thought it was
sugar,
about a woman.
Baby.
Is there no, yeah, there's no, like you're that right, song. That's D'Angelo. Okay. There's no rapping on that? Is there not a remix?
There's a remix with Kool G Rap.
I'm surprised
on it.
The remix doesn't have like Raekwon
really?
And Ghost.
Dude, the remix is kind the remix is kind of.
Beating the pussy up.
He
come in like does he come in like killing
he does
it like
not
that?
He does not but the okay he, I love that Kool G Rap era
yeah
where he was just like real abusive
yeah
he must have some woman must have broke Kool G Rap's heart at one point, because he really gets
there's
after,
a lot of anger that he needs to after, exculpate.
He gets after women like nobody else, man.
Yeah,
yeah.
I mean, yeah.
There's a song. It's an unreleased song, but it got leaked a couple years back, called "Hey Mister Mister" or something like that.
Okay.
And it's like the chorus is like, "Hey." It's like, "Hey, mister." And he's like, "Don't interrupt me while I'm beating my wife," or something like that. Like,
oh, wow.
Yo, I'm paraphrasing it, but okay. That's kind of what the chorus is like. It's like, mind your own business when I'm beating up my girlfriend.
It's not, no, it's domestic not, abuse. Dude, it's not even beating, though. He's just pairing.
He's pairing abuse her face
with the dinner.
With
he's just pairing
with his fist. It's like, this white cross would look great on your face.
Yo, errors and omissions. I need to find out what the chorus is and bring it to next time.
You might want to look into that, because if possible,
we could
discuss the Chrome Bills removing the sponsorship of the NFL
right. And
cite this as evidence, because they used that to introduce Ray Rice when he was in college.
Hey, Mr. Mister.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. All right.
And on that note, boom.
And on that note, let's sign off. I want to play this Diabolik song. It's called Piss and Vinegar. I like that.
Piss and Vinegar. Yeah. We've gotten a bunch of new listeners. Thank you to everyone for tuning in. Make sure that you're spreading the word, because that's how we're going to get more stuff.
Definitely.
By stuff, I mean your money.
Word.
Chrome Bills, episode 64. Steve, let us know what you're playing and take us out. It's been real.
All right, we're playing a track called Piss and Vinegar by Diabolik off the new Fighting Words album. It's pretty
it's very
vicious.
Ironic that it starts it is, with this.
It's
too.
Very it's very vicious.
Okay.
You dumbhead. You scared him. He changed his tune the minute he heard the name Diabolik. Get 5,000 copies of this printed and circulate them.
I'm a grown man, still full of piss and vinegar. More sinister than Satan, possessing a Christian minister. I twist the indica, spitting the shit to finish you. Cause life's a bitch, I convinced to let me stick my dick in her. My first assignment's rhyming with perfect timing. Finding the words describing was striving a person climbing. Required to spit fire, the fire that burns inside him is even more berserk than meteors and earth colliding. But I've been converting to feeling cursed and violent. With others lost like Jack on that deserted island. I'm trapped, making noise when all I heard was silence. Now worship like my birth was sliding through a virgin hymen. I vibe with lower classes, rose from smoking ashes. So cold when solar flashes explode, I froze the gas. On top of the world, reverse the polar axis till both the atlas shoulders crack into broken fragments. I roam the planet, find dough and rock the mic with a captive audience. My life shows a hostage crisis, so tell these fools the jewels I drop are priceless. Combine the righteous side with my demonic likeness to bless you. Unless you fake when lenses zoom in, saw for attention like anorexic cadets saluting. I just kept it moving, the movement's a revolution. Cause Illuminati views my body as less than human. They shooting the proofs when bullets are fired at you, and they're flying faster than rockets Nazis supplied to NASA. This the final chapter that decided back to back to get it cracking like chiropractors with spinal fractures. Ciphers under street lights, party on the rooftop, boondocks with my goons, beats on my boombox. Rock on till the break of dawn when the dew drops. You already know the flow, so here we go. Ciphers under street lights, party on the rooftop, boondocks with my goons, beats on my boombox. Rock on till the break of dawn when the dew drops. You already know the flow, so here we go. Go find a rapper spitting as dope as this shit. I'll show you a Muslim Jew become a Jehovah's Witness. So tell your friends and foes, hoes and bitches, I move so many units, iTunes gets motion sickness from social misfits, living as cold and vicious as prehistoric creatures preserved in frozen liquids. We don't roll in sixes to visit the road to riches, but I've driven get away from heights in a stolen Civic. I'd skate and lay low as Jake's go patrol the district, getting blown by overprivileged hoes who drove eclipses. I live this. Well, Rocky glamorized doing Molly, and I'll probably lose somebody tonight to blues and oxys. I'm like an alien inside a human body, but nice since Giuliani was prosecuting Gotti. I might use a shot of your knife and even races to slice these vegan skaters precise as beaming lasers. For spite of freaking nature on mics, I'm homicidal. I follow prime allergies to murder when dropping vinyl. I read demonic Bibles, drinking holy water, then piss on the deals in a scope and Sony offer. I got a cold following full of lonely stalkers who'd shoot the president so they could fuck Jodie Foster. This for the orphan kids whose homes are battle fortress, with bullets to the head are dying of natural causes. Not for the corporate corn chips who wanna pass the torches, the kids as corny as Mac Miller and Asher Rothness.
Imagine what would happen if I was that supported. They travel towards it like the sun pulling a planet's orbit. The game's that distorted, smoking circus mirrors. Lyrics don't matter, it's a matter of perseverance. Since my first appearance became a classic feature, I'd kick it like I learned the crane stance from Pat Morita. I'll smash a fashionista, snatch a platinum visa, and make it rain codeine till rappers have a seizure. Rush to Cedar Sinai, giving anesthesia while I'm going in your pockets and boosting a bag of reefer. This will not stop till I rock a packed arena, and I'm bigger than the fucking wine mixer in Catalina.
Here's the thing, it's the Catalina fucking wine mixer, okay?
Are you saying how?
Ciphers under street lights, party on the rooftop, boondocks with my goons, beats on my boombox.
Rock on
till the break of dawn when the dew drops. You already know the flow, so here we go. Ciphers under street lights, party on the rooftop, boondocks with my goons, beats on my boombox.
Rock on
till the break of dawn when the dew drops. You already know the flow, so here we go.